but they have uncovered in the last month roughly 48 different bodies that they're digging up, and they're grinding their bones up, and they're putting in this cushion. It's more of evidently a traditional ingredient. Nobody can say that that's what makes the drug do what the drug does. It's just this recipe calls for it, and these people are digging up bodies, and it's wreaking havoc in this country. You know, it's insane. So, you know, again, you know, kind of bad,
that's,
I guess,
wild.
But it's like, holy shit, out of all the things. And I thought like battery acid and antifreeze and drugs are bad. Fuck, now you get like human bones. And welcome everybody to Strange Uncles. I'm Shane.
I'm Josh.
What's going on, man? Long time.
Oh, you know, just being really, really, really on top of my schedule and being prepared to do anything for the podcast and, you know.
Partially my fault, man. So I will say, listeners, sorry. You know, I had a business trip and you know, the plan was to kind of keep things in order, but it did not go that way. So here's a quick story, and then I had a couple things. This is a news episode, by the way, everybody. So, you know, if you already caught up on the news, we try to do this like every fourth-ish episode, you know, if we can. Always something weird in the news, for sure. But fucking, I feel like this is a Seinfeld episode. Honestly, like, it was ridiculous. Go to return my car. Woke up 3 o'clock in the morning because I got to fly out, like, butt early, right? I'm boarding the plane, like, at 6. So making sure all this is – this is Ohio. This is Columbus, Ohio. And – jump in the rental car, go to take it back, and I can't take it back because the whole Avis area is blocked off. There's nobody there. Lights are on. Everything's happening, but there's like two other cars, too, that we're just circling, trying to figure out what we're going to do because you can't return it to said place of origin where you got it from. So we ended up going up to another level, which was like Thrifty Rental or some shit like that. And there was one guy there that was like checking in cars. He's like, oh yeah, I kind of know him downstairs. I don't know what their fucking problem is. Like, he's just being fair. So he's like, you can leave the car here and then I'll call. And it's like 4 o'clock in the morning. Try to get a hold of somebody down in the terminal where you check in, you know, like your actual desk, counter space, whatever. Nobody. Not a dime. Try to call Avis. Nope. Try to do an email customer support. Nope. They wouldn't do that because I didn't have the right ticket number or something that was on the thing, the reservation number. It wasn't until I got to Minneapolis, so I finally got a hold of somebody like 10 o'clock for them to go, oh yeah, yeah, it just got up here like 2 minutes ago. Somebody had to go rescue the cars and bring them down to Avis and then check everything. I was so fucking hot, dude. Cause the first guy I talked to, he's like, oh yeah, well, you know, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but you know, if we can't find the vehicle, then, you know, you're going to be responsible for paying for the vehicle that is lost. And
the I'm fuck like, I am,
holy
sir.
Holy shit. Oh, yeah. I lost my shit. God,
just I was been pissed. Like, good luck seeing a fucking cent.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. I was like, oh, my God.
Because, I mean, it's not like you rented it on your dime. That shit's corporate. Like, yeah, go ahead. Try getting a car's worth of money out of the fucking tight-ass corporate accounting fucking department.
It's just so crazy, dude. So, that was coming back from Ohio. It's just been my God, that was not a good... And then flight was delayed and all that other crap. It took me like most of a day, you know, when you're flying from East Coast, technically East Coast, to over here. It just takes a long
close
time.
Close enough.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dude, that reminds me of the first time I went to Ireland and we rented a car and drove around the country for like a week and we were returning it. We were trying to return it on our flight back, but we'd parked it in a garage across the street from where the hostel we were staying at. Mm-hmm. And we checked the hours. We knew it was supposed to open back up like 2 hours before we were supposed to be at the airport. We figured we'd be good. The garage was not open in the morning and it was early ass in the morning too. It was like 4 or 5. But it was kind of the same deal. Like, garage wasn't open. We call the like help number that's on the like gate. And they're like, no, he's supposed to be there. And we are looking around and they're like, well, we'll call him. And looking around. And turns out the fucking dickhead that was supposed to be open in the garage was sitting across the street in the car having breakfast with his girlfriend.
Oh, my God.
So by the time we finally get the car out, we've got like fucking 45 minutes, you know, to get to the airport, drop the car off, get through security, you know, all this shit. And this is like 2006, I think. And we had like a bottle of like $2 wine we bought somewhere that was been rolling around in the trunk the whole trip. And one of my buddies like grabbed it out of the trunk when we were dropping the car off. And we're about to go through security, and I like got down to untie my shoes to take them off, and he stuck it in the like webbing on my backpack.
Oh shit!
And I didn't notice, so I like put my backpack on the scanner, like go through putting my shoes back on, like getting ready to run to the gate because at this point, like the flight's basically boarding.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I'm kind of freaking out, and the security guard just starts yelling at me about like, you can't take that with you, you can't take that through, and I have no fucking clue what he's talking about. And like I'm just trying to run, and I'm like, what the fuck are you even talking about? And he's getting mad at me because like obviously I'm acting super suspicious. Mm-hmm. And anyway, like we finally figure out he's talking about the bottle of wine, and he's like fucking pissed at this point, like, you can't fucking have that. And I was just like, here, take it, I don't fucking care. I don't just want to go home. I didn't realize it was like, what the fuck? You know, we're really getting mad about a bottle of $2 Chuck. Come on.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So like, oh, I just like handed it to him and started running pretty much. I'm kind of surprised I didn't get arrested.
Yeah. I did that flying out of Tokyo one time too. It's just crazy travels, man. Like I said, it never, you know, it's nice when it works all nice and smooth. When it doesn't, it's like, yeah, fuck, what are you going to do? So
yeah, well, also like you got to have some stories, right?
Yeah, for sure. So there's one other thing I wanted to actually talk about. It's really not really Strange Uncles related. This is more towards audiophiles out there, anybody that, you know, like likes good sound quality. I was gonna talk to you about this. I'm like, well shit, I'll just wait for the podcast. So, you know, of course I went Apple, and with Apple you got the Apple earbuds and all that other shit. And I found out, remember Techniques? Remember that company back from like, you know, mid-70s?
Yeah, they made like turntables, right?
Yeah. They, out of Japan, they were like the high-end turn. In fact, they actually changed like their technology behind them. They're the first ones that had the direct turntable, direct drive. They're the first ones, like DJs now around the world use Technics products because it's just how they're made. They're just made well, mm-hmm. right? So they decided like 3 or 4 years ago to get into the headphone game. And dude, I shit you not, I bought their earbuds that go in the ear, and I bought their over the ear. It is the best sound quality I have heard. And I've used like the Apple Air Max. I've used the Sony WMs. I've used all what they say is like the greatest headphones for noise canceling and all this bullshit. These Techniques, even the ones, the earbud ones, they are the best. The battery life, the sound, what you can do with them. Like, it is amazing. So anybody out there that's looking for a great set of headphones, I think they're flying under the radar because nobody really knows Techniques, right? So they're like,
What's the price point on those bad dudes?
Let me see. The earbuds were like $289, I think, and the over the ear were like $325 or $347 or something like that. Which, you know, compared to like that Sony's, price,
they better fucking, you know, sound, they better really be good. They better yeah, come with a fucking hand job, bro.
Right. Well, no, the Sony's come in like the over ear Sony's that everybody raves about come in like $400. So you know,
well, I mean, like even the AirPods. Like the AirPods Pro or whatever are only like $200.
I think, yeah, they dropped their price pretty cheap. Yeah. But they're like the new, they got an older version of the earbuds you can get for $70.
Yeah, like I think those are just like the,
yeah,
the original like AirPods or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, like I got some AirPods Pro at the beginning of the pandemic, and I love them. I think I got like I got them from a bad lot though. I think the batteries are starting to crap out.
Oh, just really?
Apple and their batteries.
Yeah. No, I like mine. I mean, mine lasted good, you know, and I like the whole, you know, it ties the Apple ecosystem and ties your other thing. Oh, and then both earbuds come with like multi-point connections, just kind of like Apple. So you could be on your phone, but if you get a Teams call on your laptop, for example, it'll automatically transfer over. And there's very, very few headphones other than Apple that'll do that. Right, that's built in. So anyway, you know, not to like lengthen the podcast, but I just want to share.
I was just going to say, cool. I switch back and forth between devices on my AirPods at work all day long.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, so anybody, Techniques, check them out. You know, not too bad. But yeah, you got anything to kick off? Otherwise, we'll do our news ticker and we'll get into it.
Oh, I think we've done enough yelling at clouds.
Done enough damage so we can get serious, at least somewhat, on this podcast. Okay, cool. Here we go.
Get into the meat of the episode.
Meat. Awesome. Here's news, everybody. So if you don't mind, I'm going to kick this one off. I did not know where this was at. Have you ever heard of a place called Sierra Leone?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. It's a country in Africa.
Yep. Yep. Small little country in Africa. Really not paying attention. I think I might have heard about it passing, but they have a drug problem like other countries do. And again, bear with us, folks, because it is weird, but it's sad at the same time, because anything with drug, you know, like fentanyl in the city that I'm in, I don't know how Salt Lake's looking, but fentanyl is like just all the rage. I mean, people are, it's insane how popular it is and how much it's getting distributed. It's fucking awful, honestly. But the Sahara Leone declares emergency over drug called a Kush. However, some of this is, there's an ingredient that is happening that this drug is made out of. So let me go here. So Kush is a psychoactive blend of addictive substances. It has been prevalent in the country for years. President Julius Maada Bio called the drug a death trap and said it posed an existential crisis. So one of the drug's main ingredients, human bones. So they have had a huge problem with grave robbers, as you can fucking imagine. Isn't that something bones? Else? Okay, so groups of mostly young men sitting on street corners with limbs swollen by Kush abuse is a common sight in Sierra Leone. You know, they talk about, you know, this one guy quotes, "I don't like doing this, but I cannot leave it because I enjoy it." Well, I mean, that's typical drugs in general, right? There's no official death toll, but one doctor told the BBC that in recent months, hundreds of young men had died from organ failure caused by Kush in the capital, Freetown. So this is what's crazy about it if you look down. So it spiked in the last, well, after COVID, basically. And it has seen Freetown's main cemeteries request police security protect themselves from young men digging up skeletons. Ground up human bones is one of the main ingredients used to make Kush, although it is not clear why. In a nationwide broadcast on Thursday night, President Bio said, "Our country is currently faced with an existential threat due to the ravaging impact of drugs and substance abuse, particularly this drug, escalating fatalities and on." But evidently, it's because experts described it as more of a holding center than a rehab. They're talking about rehab and what they're doing for the drugs. But they have uncovered in the last month, roughly 48 different bodies that they're digging up, and they're grinding their bones up and they're putting in this cushion. It's more of evidently a traditional ingredient. Nobody can say that that's what makes the drug do what the drug does. It's just this recipe calls for it, and these people are digging up bodies, and it's wreaking havoc in this country. You know, it's insane. So, you know, again, you know, kind of bad, that's, I guess,
wild.
But it's like, holy shit, out of all the things. And I thought like battery acid and antifreeze and drugs are bad. Fuck, now you got like human bones. It kind of reminds me of the Egyptian shit. Remember the mumia that they did back in the 20s, Jesus. 30s? The people thought it was some healing, mummy bones were like a healing. Maybe it's along those lines that they're using it. I don't know. But it's wreaking havoc on this country, which is awful. But holy shit, yeah, grave robbing to it. It's not a good mix.
That's so fucking weird. It reminds me too of like the I think it was Crocodile was the drug that was really popular. Probably still is in Russia for a while. I've but heard it was about like that. It was like an intravenous drug, and it would like literally like rot people's flesh.
Oh Jesus like, Christ! I just
like off it. Their bodies and shit while they were walking around. With their minds destroyed.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like I said, fentanyl is awful. I see it. And there's other drugs that are like causing like literally parts of, you know, you like your skin to die and you're like Seattle is having a hell of a crisis. So is Portland. But you know, here's something else. Like I thought Kush sounds fun, but evidently not. It's a thing. So there you go, everybody. Good news from Sierra Leone. If you ever visit there, don't pretend like you're dead or you know, I don't know what's it's just awful. So anyway,
that sounds yikes.
Yeah, right. But
anyway, moving on. Shane.
Sorry. Such a downer over here.
I pulled this from the debrief. And I got to complain about the debrief real quick. Back to old men yelling at clouds. Their website is turning into such a fucking trash pile as far as like being able to actually look at it.
Oh no.
With all the ads and stuff and like all the flyouts. Like I was trying to read this on my phone and I just couldn't because of all the like little pop-up videos and shit. I hate that. Ads and stuff, and like can't close them out. They're in the fucking way. Like what you're trying to read keeps moving because all these other things keep jumping out. So if you're listening to this, guys at the debrief, I'm sure you are, fix your fucking shit.
Make it easier for us. Yeah.
Yeah. So I had to, let's talk about all my problems. I had to send this to myself in a PDF format so I could actually read it. Jesus. Anyway, feels good to be too old to deal with like technology like a normal person.
Right.
Army launches new all-domain sensing cross-functional team in effort to achieve multi-sensor dominance. So this sounds kind of interesting. The Army Futures Command has initiated a new all-domain sensing effort, which officials say will help propel the U.S. Army's transformation over the next decade by achieving sensory dominance across multiple domains, as well as deeper processing and analysis by leveraging artificial intelligence, which sounds bad.
Yeah, that's not great. It doesn't sound like, well, but we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. Just the artificial intelligence part sounds really bad. And I will be quite honest, we're going to go on this journey together. I only read the first couple paragraphs of this before we started. Fair enough. So I think it's about tied into like UAP ATIP type stuff, but it might just be like they might end up just be talking about like how they can see combatants on the battlefield or something. I don't know. We're going to go on this adventure together.
Yeah.
So the new initiative, the All Domain Sensing ADS cross-functional team was announced last month by General James E. Rainey, commanding general of Army Futures Command, who said such teams are one of the indisputable successes of AFC. The new CTF will have bases in Adelphi, Maryland, and at Huntsville, Alabama, which officially launched following the successful completion of an earlier CTF, the Army's Assured Positioning, Navigation, and Timing Space mission. Oh, they love their acronyms. The Ant Space CTF.
Jesus.
Did what we asked them to do. Oh, good. They did their jobs. Rainey said last month, the changes we are making are intended to capitalize on our success. And they're going to use basically AI to crunch a lot of this data because they're saying that at this point, there's just so much data that like using humans to try and get through it would just be too fucking much.
Oh, gotcha.
So they want to use AI and machine learning to kind of like help sort through all the data, which, I mean, one of the things I found out while I was taking quizzes or like skill assessments while I was looking for a job was that 98% of the data that is out there now was generated in the last 2 years. So,
oh, no shit.
Yeah. So it's like exponentially increased, you know, so yeah, there's definitely truth to there just being too much, you know?
Right.
Let's see. So over the next decade, it's planned to enhance its core competencies and transition into a multi-domain force with the necessary capabilities to meet 21st century military challenges. And it looks like where this doesn't really tie into UAP stuff a whole lot, but I did think it's interesting that they're jumping on the AI bandwagon. I get the reasoning behind it, like the way too much data to like just use people to go through. But like one thing that I've noticed a lot, especially like working in the industry that I work in, is that everyone who's pushing AI right now is saying it can do so much more than it actually can.
Right.
Like I think it eventually will get there. I'm not saying like it's an entire crock of shit, but it's being way oversold right now. And like,
oh, 100%.
A lot of the generative AI stuff, or not the generative AI, but a lot of the AI stuff, like your ChatGPTs and whatnot, it's just really machine learning. Mm-hmm. They just wanted to give it a sexy new name to get people to invest. That's a fucking grift.
Everybody's at the most part. 100%. You know? Everybody's on board with this shit. And to your point, you've talked about this a couple times, AI is only as good as the people who are making AI, which is us, and the shit that is fed into
and the people
AI
that are running it.
Right.
You have to learn. Even with the generative AI stuff, you have to learn how to talk to it, what prompts to give it to get it to do what you need it to do. So it's not like it's not really artificial intelligence. It doesn't like think on its own. It's like a macro for Excel, basically.
Yeah.
You're saying, hey, ChatGPT or whatever generative AI thing, I want a picture of XYZ in the style of ABC, mm-hmm. compute. And then no more, no less, no, you know what I mean? It's by the time you're done giving it commands and getting stuff out of it, you know, like, never mind the whole like ethical debate about how it learns from looking and basically ripping off actual human artists.
Yeah. Yes. You know? There's
like, never mind the ethical debate, just straight up like the user functionality of it. It's like,
Yeah. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. So for a little bit of work, a little bit for this podcast, I've been playing around with ChatGPT. I've been playing around with Microsoft Pilot. I mean, and yeah, there's some things in there. It's like, cool. But to your point, you know, it's like, yeah, it'll do pretty cool things. But the prompt, you need to know what the hell you're talking about to make it do those cool things. And I spend half the time just trying to figure out how it is going on than it would just for me just to go do the work and stuff, realize that, you know? So,
and that's the problem I have with it. And maybe it's just me being old and not good at prompting the computer.
True. Touche. Yep,
but, but at the same time, it's like, I feel like it's not, and I'm, again, I think it'll get there, but I think right now it's like, this isn't really saving time. I'm just working differently.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know?
Yep. Yep. Yep.
On the other hand, my neighbor has to use Copilot a lot for his job, and he's like, so he's gotten good at prompting it, and he thinks it's a lifesaver. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, like, so I said, maybe, I don't mind trying new technology. Maybe we're just old. Yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't mind trying new things. Work smarter, not harder, right? But it's just getting through that kind of stuff. And yeah, to your point, it's really in its infancy. Everybody's screaming AI, and it's driving me apeshit because now, especially in like my field, in the facilities field and the technical side of the facilities field, people are just rearing up into AI. Like, they're leaning into it more. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, can do this and this and this. When reality is, it's not fucking AI they're selling. It's trending and analytics they're selling on their platforms. Yeah. Right? You just call it what it is. It's not that
hard. Exactly. Well, because what it is, you wouldn't pay as much for.
Right. Exactly. It's not as fancy,
you
know, right?
You probably wouldn't even buy it at all.
Oh, my God.
And if you did, you definitely wouldn't be paying what they're wanting for it. Like, I don't know. That's my whole thing, is like the tech industry is talking about AI like it's at the HAL 900 level, and it's more at like the voice-to-text level.
It's more like the DOS, and I'm waiting for Microsoft 2000 to come out level.
Pretty much. It's just not nearly as far along as they all want to make it be, but how are you going to get people to buy a new laptop when they just bought one 2 years ago?
Right, exactly.
Oh, hey, this one has AI.
Yeah.
It's not like it's not something you can just download, and any laptop can...
AI powered. AI. This chip is AI powered. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Gotcha. Gotcha.
Is people. It? What does that mean exactly to you?
Fucking anyway. Insane. So, well, good story on that. Well, yeah, we'll see what they, you know, like, again, work smarter, not harder, if that's what they want to do. I've got one here that's kind of interesting. So this happened a while ago. This happened, it looks like a little over 2 years ago. However, he was just able to get his voice out because I've been stumbling. This is one of the like three articles that I found on this. And it's more interesting than anything. And I just bring it up because, you know, some of the news reports we have, and I've got a couple that are kind of, we have talked about them in the past, and we have kind of, hey, we'll keep you guys updated. And now all of a sudden there's some updates on some old shit that were just weird. And this is one of them. So expert who gathers truth about Area 51 has home raided. Did you hear about this one at all?
No, I did not.
So, and I want to know where he lives because we stayed out there for 2 days, and I'm kind of curious on where this guy was at. Georg Arnoux, the owner of a website that claims to reveal the truth about Area 51, has reportedly had his home raided. Again, happened a while ago, but this just now is starting to kind of hit the archives. Arnoux, who launched Dreamland Resort in 1999, has a platform for enthusiasts to share theories about activities at the Air Force facility, believes the military is testing new technology at a secret base within a base in the Nevada desert, which, again, you know, Area 51, right? It's going back and forth for how many fucking decades. Some contributors on the site are former Area 51 employees. Yada, yada, same thing. Bob Lazar, they're talking about him and what he has seen there. He's seen extraterrestrial aircraft on display. So Arnoux, who calls himself an Area 51 research veteran, fit that on a business card, is one of the...
I wonder if he has one of those hats.
Yeah, right, exactly. He's one of the 50 residents of Rachel, Nevada, located on the outskirts of military base. He thinks that the real secrets are now hidden in a new section of Area 51, north of the existing runways and base buildings. Arnoux stated, they have years and years of decades of experience hiding things. Look at some of the exotic planes, like the Tacit Blue that was developed in total secrecy, which I've never heard of, was flown.
That was like the predecessor to the SR-71, if I remember, right.
The Blackbird? Okay, gotcha.
I think so. It was either Tacit Blue or it was like Oxcart or Hav Blue or something like that. It was one of the secret spy, the predecessor, like the development of one of the secret spy planes, either like the U-2 or the SR-71.
Gotcha.
But okay. I think it was the SR-71. Anyway,
right.
Continue.
In the early 90s, Chuck Clark, an Area 51 watchdog, revealed that military sensors had been placed miles outside the base's boundaries, leading to a raid on his home. According to reports, our news properties were also allegedly raided by armed... Get this. Armed counterterrorism agents in November 2022. He was at his Rachel residence when about two dozen agents burst through the door, handcuffed him, and took him outside for questioning. Meanwhile, over 100 miles away in Las Vegas, his girlfriend Linda Hello was similarly awakened by FBI agents who ordered her to come downstairs at gunpoint. It is claimed, again, allegedly on that one, the agents seized four of Arnold's computers, several hard drives, phones, cameras, and a drone. They also took photos of his late parents and records containing personal information. He later found out, again, speculation I feel, however, he later found out that the raid was carried out by a joint team from the FBI and the Air Force Office of Special Investigations.
Those guys.
A counterintelligence wing that investigates terrorist groups targeting the Air Force, which may or may be true. Look, you know what? Maybe the guy just poked in the wrong place and we're doing our due diligence with, you know, internal domestic possible terrorism. I get it. But it's still just, you know, it has Area 51, more shit to do with Area 51. And I can't remember because we were drunk most of the time. However, when we went to Rachel and we saw John's friend, remember, that was there, we interviewed him. Didn't he say something about there were sections nearby Area 51 where things were happening to his knowledge? It wasn't actually the old 51, but it was like north of. And so I thought about that when I was reading this article because it was like,
I don't remember for sure about that. I do remember we were like, So are they like working on UFOs and stuff? And he was like, no, dude.
Right, exactly. He did say there was something, because he knows aircrafts he knows the identification for every flight pattern on every aircraft. And he did mention there's some weird shit coming in and out at odd times. But yeah, to his point, he's like, no, they're not reverse engineering anything.
Yeah.
Whatever, you know, fine. So, but anyway. But yeah, I thought that was interesting. So we'll see, you know, again, somebody rated on that and, you know, Rachel, Nevada seems to pop its head up in the news every now and again. So I want to share that.
Yeah, you mentioned like a dozen people rolling up on him. And I'm thinking about what Rachel actually looks like. And I was like, how did they get anywhere near his place without him seeing him?
Exactly.
Because it's not like it's like dense, like places packed together. It's like,
yeah,
you know, most of the buildings out there have lots of windows and there aren't like a lot of them and they aren't like close clustered together.
Yeah, it's pretty flat. It's not like it's surrounded by woods and trees where somebody can hide.
Yeah, it's not like they can park a block down the road and stack up. You know what I mean?
Because somebody in Rachel is going to know something somewhere. So it's a fucking thing.
Yeah, they probably just drove right up to it and jumped out. I don't know. Maybe he saw him coming and was like, well, if I just sit here and let him come in, I won't get shot.
Right, exactly. Anyway, so I figured I'd share that.
Let's see here. This is a fun one that's been in the news just recently. Spooky spiders on Mars finally explained after two decades, which I don't know if I'd ever actually heard of these spiders on Mars. Until recently, I didn't realize that they've been looking at them for 20 years.
I had no clue.
But it also popped up in the news recently, I think, because of the popularity of the new game Helldivers 2, where they fight bugs and robots.
Gotcha.
So, like, when this popped up, there were tons of Helldiver 2 memes about, like, oh, let's go kill the bugs, you know? Anyway, let's see. Ziggy played guitar, and scientists in the UK played with a big chunk of dry ice to try and figure out what's behind the strange alien patterns known as the spiders on Mars. It's a great opening. Anyway, those patterns visible. And if you haven't, if you haven't seen this, like the main picture is the one that I've seen attached to like every story about this. And it's like just a picture of Mars. And it looks like they're, it looks like there are black splotches that look like when you notice a spider on the wall from across the room, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I've seen
where it's like thing. Basically a black fuzzy circle.
Spider!
Yeah. Those patterns visible in satellite images of the red planet's south pole aren't real spiders, of course. Boo. Wow. But the branching black shapes carved into the Martian surface look creepy enough that researchers dubbed them, I don't know how to say this, araniforms, meaning spider-like.
Okay.
Araniforms. There we go. Meaning spider-like, after discovering the shapes more than two decades ago. Measuring up to 3,300 feet, or 1 kilometer across, the gargantuan shapes don't resemble anything on Earth, but in a new study published March 19th in the journal Scientific Reports, scientists would be a dumb story if it was unsuccessfully. Scientists successfully recreated a shrunken down version of the spiders in their lab using a slab of carbon dioxide ice, also called dry ice, and a machine that simulates the Martian atmosphere. When the cold ice made contact with a much warmer bed of Mars-like sediment, part of the ice instantly transformed from a solid to a gas, a process called sublimation, forming spidery cracks where the escaping gas pushed through the ice. And then there's like a video of them doing it in the lab, which looks creepy and cool. This research presents the first set of empirical evidence for a surface process that is thought to modify the polar landscape on Mars. Lead study author Lauren McEwen, planetary scientist at the Open University in England, said in a statement, "The experiments show directly that the spider patterns we observe on Mars from orbit can be carved by the direct conversion of dry ice from solid to gas. The Martian atmosphere contains more than 95% carbon, blah, 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 I'm skimming now because I think that's kind of the gist of it. But yeah, anyway, not real spiders, not real giant ass.
Jesus, you have me all excited. Kilometer wide
spiders.
Yeah.
We're not going hell diving on Mars yet. But it is interesting to see that geological processes work, see how geological processes work on other planets.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, the dry ice thing is pretty cool.
It is. Dry ice. I used to love playing with that shit when I was a kid.
So yeah.
You learn the hard way what to do with it and what not to do with it. So just saying.
Yep. I think that's the only way to learn as far as stuff when you're a kid goes. Yeah. But yeah, I remember like putting it in root beer and stuff at Halloween.
Yep. Yep. You got to have the smoke. That was a cool thing. So anyway, awesome. We're going to take a quick break and we will be back. Stand by, everybody.
Believe in UFOs? Felt that chill up your spine that you just can't explain? Contemplate the other side of reality? Do you shake your head at the world that seems to have lost its common sense? Well, look no further than Strange Uncles. Find them on all podcast platforms and call their hotline to tell your side of reality at 801-252-6945. Open the gates.
All right, and we are back. And again, you know, I said this earlier that I was digging up some news from the past. Well, this one I'm sure rings a bell. Remember the Havana Syndrome?
Yes, the whole Cuba one of my thing? Favorite weird conspiracies of recent times.
Oh, yeah. So there's an article that I stumbled upon, and I'll try to shorten it up a bit, but it is interesting. The government is hiding something about the Havana Syndrome. So this is back in the news. And there's some people that are actively involved that want answers. For those of you who may not know, let me cover some background here. This is especially true to the so-called Havana Syndrome, a generic term used to describe a variety of symptoms that have plagued diplomats and embassy workers since it first came to light in Havana, Cuba, nearly a decade ago. The symptoms have since been seen across the globe, including in Northern Virginia, which I was not aware of. The U.S. has told us on a variety of occasions there's nothing nefarious going on. But as reported exclusively here at the Salon more than a year ago, and that's who writes the article, and more recently on CBS's 60 Minutes, there was a reason to believe the series of health concerns the government labels anomalous health incidents, or AHIs, is man-made and possibly of Russian origin. Right? So here we go. So, you know, we had some history. Again, it's the Havana Syndrome. They say what it was, a sonic wave of some sort, made people sick, it gave nausea, followed around for years. Yeah,
so like all the people working at the embassy in Cuba when it was briefly reopened basically said they were hearing weird, like kind of high-pitched sounds, and then they started having these weird health issues, and some were saying it's like psychosomatic, and some are saying that it's like they don't know what's causing it, and some are saying like that they were just overreacting to having a hangover.
The jury's out on that, but I do, especially the government's like, nope, don't know what happened, had nothing to do with it. I mean, from
nothing to see here, move along.
Right. Secretary of State Antony Blinken previously defended the government workers because there was a bunch of them that came out, Freedom of Information Act. And then they came out saying, no, there's something that occurred. They came forward to report their symptoms. And he says their pain is real. He said, I have no higher priority than that of the health and safety of each of you. Congress responded last week to the latest 60 Minutes report. And again, this article is about 3 days old. Has asked President Biden for more information about the cause. This week, a judge heard testimony from Zaid about the latest Freedom Information Act, basically, request, and even the judge showed concern about the government's lack of cooperation. There's not a lot of transparency, United States District Judge Amit Mehta said during the hearing. The Obama-appointed judge presided over the 2023 Google antitrust trial and hand out an 18-year sentence to the leader of Oath Keepers, Stuart Rhodes, for his involvement in the... Yeah, right? Isn't that... fucking sweet justice. The government was supposed to provide expedited service to our request for this information, which was from Mark Zaid, again, Freedom of Information Act. But so far has told us little more than there may be as many as 391 pages of information. That's a lot of information for something that doesn't exist. So,
yeah,
we still do not know months later what the information actually is. Judge Mehta said in the hearing that while providing information was supposed to be expedited, it wasn't reflected in the facts. This lawsuit continues ongoing efforts to bring needed transparency surrounding the U.S. government's knowledge of anomalous health incidents impacting federal employees and their family members. The American public deserves to have a straightforward answer from the U.S. government regarding AHIs and the impact that that has been and continue to be felt by U.S. government personnel, both overseas and domestically. As Zaid said on the Just Ask Questions podcast this week, which I'll have to check out, the roots of the Vanna syndrome can be traced back to the Moscow signal, an event that occurred during the Cold War. It was a reported microwave transmission varying between 2.5 and 4 gigahertz directed at the embassy of the United States, Moscow, from 53 to 76, resulting in an international incident. I have not heard of the Moscow signal. Have you? That was a new one.
No, I remember that like when they were building the embassy, they had to stop like halfway through and basically start from scratch because they figured out that like the Russians were embedding listening devices in the in the building materials. So they had to stop, basically knock everything down and build it with stuff they brought over from the States. But I don't remember hearing anything about like a directed signal at anything.
Yeah, no, me neither. And I remember that now that you mentioned, I did remember that. And I don't know how true this is. So it is believed the microwave signal was used to turn on the thing, which was a gift from Russia to the U.S., a large seal that had a listening device. I don't know. That's odd.
I remember that. They gave the ambassador or something a gift that was like a big seal of like this, the United States or something.
Gotcha.
Like carved out of wood, like nice ornate thing. But it had a listening device inside it.
Yeah. Go figure. There you go.
Because why else would they give you a gift? Exactly. Why else would you give your adversary a gift?
Period? Is this a Trojan horse? No, not at all.
Is it a gift from someone that you're not necessarily at war with, but kind of?
Probably don't trust it. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ. Since then, the question has become whether or not the technology has advanced and been weaponized, with suspicions of handheld devices used to induce the symptoms called the Vanna syndrome. While that sounds like wild conspiracy theory, allegedly, it's not nearly as wild as the conspiracy theorists who believe the U.S. government is using its citizens as guinea pigs. Quote, I do not believe that the U.S. government is torturing or using these devices on its own citizens, Zed explained on the podcast. Yeah, jury's out on that one. It is the introduction of the extreme conspiracy.
They've done it before.
They've done it like 9 times before. Fucking, and that's just the ones we know of. Fuck. There have been many theories about the cause behind the Havana syndrome, and as an exclusive reporter last year, the wide range of symptoms could be traced to a variety of energy weapons. At the time, the government, however, was still denying that possibility, instead telling us that there was no reason to believe AHIs were caused by human activity. The issue first came to light in 2016 after a diplomat from Canada and the U.S. station in Cuba reported a variety of symptoms. Again, we talked about what they were. The problem has led to potentially long-term health problems, which we discuss, we know of. The lack of clarity only leads to a proliferation of a wide variety of conspiracy theories, most of them crazier than the truth, and includes accusations of everything from our government experimenting on its own citizens to, wait for it, space aliens doing the same. This is back in the news again. We'll see what happens. This Mark Zed thing, he thinks he knows exactly where it's coming from. While the source will not say whether or not he believed the source of the Havana syndrome is man-made, he did say if it is, then it is a frightening weapon. The untraceable ability to harm, permanently disable, or even kill someone from a distance is a serious, very serious matter. You fucking think? So he's chasing this back down, and the government's taking a lot of time to go, no, again, nothing to see here, but obviously there are some things to see. So,
well, it's really interesting, because I remember when this all first came out, and like there's a like actually pretty mainstream news and pop culture show that I listened to, and one of the people on that kind of got a little bit obsessed with it for a while when it first came out, and they were talking about like, oh yeah, but like a microwave direct beam weapon, whatever, like it'd have to be like the size of a big truck. And it's like, I don't know, man, because like an LRAD isn't very big, and it's kind of the same fucking thing. Police use it as a loudspeaker at demonstrations as a form of like kind of crowd control kind of stuff. Yeah. But they only really use it as a loudspeaker, but you can use it as a infrasonic directed thing too. Like basically, it doesn't. Technology's come a long way. It doesn't take a battery the size of a truck to power these things.
Absolutely. You know? And you know what? I stumble on a bunch of articles too that I got to dig through. You know, DARPA, who we've covered in the past, we've actually done a whole episode dedicated to DARPA. They still have their fingers in things like this nature, sonic weaponization, things like that. I mean, it's amazing. If you go on the DARPA website and see just the patents that are pending, it would blow your fucking mind. And that's just the stuff they don't care if we see. That's not, I'm sure, everything. Yeah. That they could be working with, right? So,
That.
But anyway, yeah, interesting. So, good old Havana syndrome comes back.
Always a good time. Except for the people that, you know, are experiencing it.
Very fair.
A good time for us.
There you go. Oh, man.
Anyway, on a lighter note, archaeologists say they've found ancient underground pathways for the dead.
Oh, Mori. I like it.
So the rolling hills of Ireland are filled with historically significant structures like cathedrals and castles, and yet some older ruins that date to prehistoric times remain undiscovered because they're under layers of sediment built up over countless years. Interesting. Thanks to LIDAR, a technology that uses lasers to map terrain, archaeologists have been able to find forgotten structures hidden in the landscape. Most recently, they say they've located a grouping of ancient monuments that were likely used as, quote, pathways for the dead, unquote, in this modern-day town of Balting Glass in County Wicklow. The structures called Cursus Monuments are five in number and date to the middle of the Neolithic era between 8,000 BCE and 2,000 BCE, and were earthworks made of trenches or ditches that spanned the landscape as detailed in the new paper in the journal Antiquity. They range in size from 400 or more to 600 feet long, but the largest spans at 1,312 feet, ACAB. The study author and archaeologist James O'Driscoll from the University of Aberdeen in Scotland told Live Science, while we don't know the actual rituals that took place there, the layout suggests they may have been used as either processional routes for mourning or a way to move the dead into heaven, said Driscoll, referring to the monument's orientation to the morning sun of the summer solstice and their proximity to nearby ancient burial sites. So there's a picture along with this that's like the LIDAR kind of scan, and it has like kind of trench, like they're buried, but they're like tunnels that kind of go in a big circle around like this mound.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing like a Nova or something about these a while back that was really interesting, because like if these are the same structures that I'm thinking of, like the tunnels get like kind of narrow as you go through, to where they're kind of hard to get through, and then it opens up into like the main chamber, and then that's where opening oriented towards the morning sun on the summer solstice is. So it's like kind of like death / rebirth in another world kind of situation. It's really, really interesting, because it kind of lines up with like some Mesoamerican stuff to you. Yep. You know,
yeah,
like,
that's why I was just
another like interesting like shared cultural memory of people that never probably actually met. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's so cool. That's neat. No, I stumbled on that. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. And we're still finding stuff like that, you know? I mean, God, and then it went again. Sometimes new cycles. And I chose not to cover because, again, I think it's regurgitating. But when I first caught on to the Baltic anomaly, if you remember that, with a whole, looks like a big stone spaceship in the ocean.
Yeah, it looks like the Millennium Falcon crashed into the ocean.
I was like, oh, my God. And there's still news reports coming out. Like, oh, no, it's not man-made. It's, you know, it's just architecturally. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, it does look like that, but that's
yeah, if you say so, guy who knows more than me, I guess.
Right, exactly. I love shit like that, though. That's cool. So, well, here's one last one that I have. And again, following up on just old news, right, that we've covered, because, you know, we try to kind of, you know, make sure that we get our ducks in a row, I suppose. Remember the Las Vegas alien that was in the backyard?
Yeah, yeah.
From last year.
Yeah, it was like 8 feet tall or some shit.
Yeah, yeah, 8 feet tall, something like that. Cop showed up and all that. So yeah. Las Vegas teen whose family was ridiculed for calling 911 to report alien in backyard speaks out. So basically, hasn't changed tunes at all. A teenager is ridiculed after his family called 911 to report seeing a 10-foot-tall alien in their backyard has spoken out a year on. And it is sticking. He is sticking by his story. Angel Kenmore, 17, claimed that he was with his family in the yard, their Las Vegas home, on the night of April 30th, 2023, when a bright light came crashing into the ground and he saw a giant creature. Other witnesses reported seeing the bright light, which was captured on police officers' body camera footage. The family called 911 with the caller telling the dispatcher, "I swear to God, this is not a joke. This is actually, we're terrified." Multiple family members corroborated the story to police officers, with one heard on body cam recordings saying he saw a shooting star. And now these people say there are aliens in their backyard. I remember watching that footage.
Yeah.
The Kenmore family went public with their story last year, and Angel revealed that he could make out a tall, very thin creature, 8 to 10 feet tall. The Kenmores even created drawings of what they claimed they have seen, showing off the bizarre sketches to the media. The family was relentlessly mocked for their claims by some, but their story also brought UFO hunters to their home, which go figure, forcing them to put no trespassing signs around the property. So, you know, basically a year on, Angel has spoken again to insist that he was telling the truth. He said this week that he was left paralyzed by fear by the apparent extraterrestrial encounter. Quote, "It was moving and breathing. It was pissed off, like it wanted to do something looking at me. I remember he was growling," he told News Nation this week. While Angel originally said the creature was an alien, he said he now believes it was a demon. Okay, there's that. "I couldn't move," he told the outlet, explaining how he looked at the creature for around 30 seconds. Angel also hit out the family's critics, saying, "They can think whatever they want. This is what I saw. If I was doing it for fame, I would be on YouTube. I made no money off this. I don't need money. It was really bad and traumatizing experience," he said. So, you know, if you remember that story, you know, they came out. I saw the footage with the police and everything else. And people tried to debunk them. And then I think one family member actually did back down and say, "Oh, no, we're probably not seeing the right thing." And it wasn't this angel person, but it was one of the family members that just, and I think they were just harassed to the point that they felt they had to change their story. But again, I like seeing shit like this because, you know, year on and they're still going, "Nope, fuck you guys. Yeah, I know what I saw." To me, that is, I don't know. It doesn't, you know, sign everything off within a dotted line, but it does prove that something was seen and they saw it and they knew it and they're not backing down from the story. And it's kind of refreshing in a way, you know? So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. And I could even understand the family member kind of being like, well, because I mean, when you see something really fucking weird, you're like, I don't know, man.
Yeah. Your mind starts.
Especially if you're like, yeah. I'm not sure what I saw.
Right.
You know?
Right. And if you're on the fence like that, then, you know, it changes the whole story. So, yeah. I don't know. But interesting. We'll see. Like I said, just something that we caught up on. I did try to find a catch up on the Peru aliens that we talked about.
Yes, the face peelers.
The face peelers. And that hasn't popped up in the news feed as of recent. So we'll see. We'll see if there's a follow up on that stuff. But anyway, there you go, man. So you got anything else?
Let's see here. Yeah, I've got Gods from Space, when London taxi driver George King met Jesus and other aliens.
Nice. I love it already.
Prepare yourself. You are to become the voice of Interplanetary Parliament. I love stories like this. The command received by George King from space, 1954. This one's fun because I don't think it's like old and I don't think I've heard of it.
Yeah.
On May 8th, 1954, London taxi driver George King was doing the household chores when he heard a voice. What came to be known as the command told him what he was now primary terrestrial mental channel number one for extraterrestrial intelligences. Prepare yourself. You are about to become the voice of the Interplanetary Parliament, it said. As well as communicating telepathically with a master from Venus named Aetherius?
Okay.
Aetherius? Sure.
Nailed
Aetherius.
It.
Whose name is represented in the organization King founded in 1959, the Aetherius Society. Dr. King, as he came to be known, also claimed that his mother had made a trip to Venus on a UFO. Many people, including the BBC, took him very seriously. The broadcaster was keen to hear from Dr. King. On May 21st, 1959, the BBC broadcast an episode of Lifeline called Mars and Venus Speak to Earth. Viewers saw Dr. King communicate telepathically with Aetherius from Venus in the presence of Dr. D.W. DeWurst, a Cambridge astronomer and unnamed Jungarian psychologist. And an unnamed Jungarian psychologist. So there are two people. The Aetherius Society Journal Cosmic Voice, number 20, 1959, said of the broadcast, "The trance condition adopted by Dr. George King, as shown in this video, is a positive yogic somatic trance condition brought about by raising Jesus the power Christ. Of Kundalini to a high psychic center. Dr. King was able to bring his condition about because of many years of practicing yoga. He was a true master of the ancient science. The inflection of the voice when the master Aetherius speaks is quite distinct from the normal voice of Dr. King. It remained the same for many decades that he spoke through Dr. King, another proof of the authenticity of the master Aetherius, from whom the Aetherius Society is named." Okay. "The Aetherius Society exists today and boasts thousands of members worldwide, but with the largest numbers in the United Kingdom, United States, particularly Southern California, and New Zealand. It aims to spread the message transmitted by beings Dr. King called the space beings, some of whom we know as Buddha, Mahatma Gandhi, and Jesus Christ. Dr. King, who died in 1997, claims to have had an unusual encounter with Master Jesus at Holdstone Down near Combe Martin, Devon, England, in 1958. Fellow believers returned to the hill to communicate with the aliens via prayer batteries used to capture and then deploy where needed the spiritual energies emitted during group prayers conducted by the society. King recalled his meeting with Jesus. It was very, very windy at the top of Holdstone Down. As a matter of fact, it was quite dark by this time. Dimly out of the corner of my eye, I saw something in the sky. Then I saw a being which kind of appeared before me. I didn't see him walk up to me. I opened my eyes and he was there. He was very tall. He was dressed in a long robe. He had long brownish hair. There was so much radiance around the man. I knew, although he didn't tell me, I knew he was Jesus, and he had just come from the planet Venus. I didn't have to be told. I just knew this. I think it was some sort of telepathic impression that I picked up. There was no denying it, and there was no denying his presence. Dr. King said Jesus had arrived on Earth in a spacecraft. He had sent power through himself to King and into the hilltop at Holdstone Down. King said he was told later by interplanetary sources that this mountain was holy. That's why we use Holdstone Down, because we really truly believe it is holy, he said. The other mountains across the globe include, or sorry, other holy mountains across the globe include Castle Peak in the Rocky Mountains near Colorado, Mount Ram's Head in New South Wales, Australia, Kilimanjaro in Tanzania, and Llynydd Eagle near Mouches in France. Here's a picture of him doing yoga. Dr. King was making waves and getting noticed, but spreading the word at the height of the Cold War attracted the attention of the British police and the FBI. They found nothing illegal, nor anything that posed a threat. You can read the FBI's report here, which might be fun for another day, and a few extracts from it below, which are really bad photocopies, so we're just going to skip that. And that's a good, that's the end of that story pretty much. But that's a pretty fun little adventure. I love old Space Bros stuff. It's pretty funny.
I love,
especially
like
the technical, like linking it to, yogic practices and stuff was just,
oh my God. See,
really,
so
really funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
To me.
I love this stuff. Like, I would love to do, and I've been kicking around like a Valiant Thor. I would love to do a whole story on that whole. I love old weird 50s shit like that. It's just so neat. So,
but it's fun to look too at like how the phenomena has changed and how like people's perception of it has changed, mm-hmm. right? Like, mm-hmm. back then it was all like Valiant Thor and like the Space Brothers, and we're like here to help you, and you guys are going to fucking kill yourselves with nuclear weapons and, you know, yada yada, like some real like hippie shit. And then in like the 70s, I think, is when it kind of changed to more nefarious, sinister kind of stuff, you know, where it's like, you know,
changes with
abductions
the
and and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it changes with the mindset of the population, right?
Yeah, like
whatever we're into, it just ebbs and waves. So when you were reading that article, I actually looked up the webpage for the Cetherius Society. Our purpose is to help as many people as possible to prepare themselves for the coming new age. We do this mainly by radiating spiritual energy to improve world karma and raise global consciousness, often in direct cooperation with the cosmic masters. And this whole King Yoga evidently is like the central point of all this stuff. Yeah, interesting. To each your own. So there's that.
That's... I mean, if you're a member of the society, please hit us up. I'm interested.
Yeah,
I would like to know more.
And anything, frick, I'll take some. It seems like they're pretty happy with what they want to do. They talk about the war in here and how we can help the Middle East through pacifism, which is not going to work in that regard. However, you know, yeah, so good on them for doing something anyway. But
yeah,
but there you go. Yeah, there's the news, everybody. So yeah, old and new, again, some follow-up stuff. If you guys have something you want to send our way, something that you want to either add a little bit more detail on or something you stumble on, you can write us, astrangeuncles@gmail.com. Let us know. Or if you have a story or anything you want us to read about, I think I'm about halfway through a write-up that should be really fun. I have a feeling it would probably be a two-parter. Looking at
nice.
It. And it's we're going to cover the whole satanic panic. So whatever you can find on your side to add to it, I think it'll be fun because we grew up through that fucking mess. So we have a perception, let's say, right? So anyway, but more to come.
Yes, culturally formative moment. You can also find us at Strange Uncles Podcast on Facebook and Instagram. I know we've got some DMs to respond to, which get to at some point. we're on Twitter at Strange Uncles. YouTube? We're on YouTube. Yeah, we're on YouTube.
I think so.
I think that's about it.
Yeah, I think that covers it. So, like I said, we got some bonus things coming up, but I should be a little bit more stable on my side. I'm not going to be traveling anytime soon, so knock on wood. But we'll see you guys in another couple weeks, and then stand by for more SU oddities that will drop here and there. And again, same with that. If you have a short little tidbit that you think's funny, we'll throw it in the mix and we'll cover it. But there you go. That was news and Strange Uncles.
At patreon.com.
At patreon.com/strangeuncles. Good call. All right. Awesome. Close the gates, everyone.